This is Hannah, and this episode was previously recorded. We did cut some parts out, and I felt like it was time for me to open up and share a little bit of the backstory with my mom and my grief journey and just going through that since this is the episode on grief. And I have gotten a lot of questions and haven't really known how to explain this and didn't feel like it was the right time. But it's been 5 months going on six. And I've learned that in my own healing process, this has to be something that is talked about. Because not only have I struggled, but a lot of people have struggled. And it is May. We're ending the month of May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. So my mom had struggled her whole life with depression, and she had a really rough life and things that happened to her that should not have happened. She endured a lot more than most people have in their life. And her mental health really took a toll on her. She had chronic pain in her toe over the last, probably 3 or 4 years, something that was triggered that happened a decade or so ago. She sought a lot of physical health out for it, saw a lot of doctors, specialists, and tried to get it under control. But if you live with chronic pain, you know that a lot of the times they can't do anything about it. And it does add immense pain to your mental health. So she was suffering a lot physically and mentally. And towards the last year, she was searching every avenue she could to find a cure. And the doctors just prescribed her with a ton of pain meds that should not be flippantly prescribed. And she had re-injured another part of her body over Christmas and New Year's, and she overdosed off of medication that doctors had prescribed to her. There was no suicide note, so it was not ruled a suicide. It was ruled an overdose. Accidental or not, there's really no way to know. But based off of her life and the things that, you know, she had opened up to me about, she did struggle a lot with depression and suicidal thoughts. And that has been the hardest part of losing my mom, has just been wondering that and knowing where she was at mentally and emotionally to be suicidal, because I too have been in that headspace. And I think that breaks my heart the most, because you do truly feel like people think people would be better off without you. And it breaks my heart to think that that's possible, that she thought all of those things in her last moments. So the grief journey with me has been the hardest with the mental health, and knowing that I struggle with some of the same issues that she had, and not feeling like there was a safe place, or that if you opened up or talked about it, people would just kind of not really care or think it's that big of a deal or taboo and just ignore it because it's too touchy of a subject. And I've just really found it to be heavy on my heart to just make this something that's more talked about, create a safe place for people to admit that they have these issues and find strength in people who struggle with them, and just pouring into those that need it. Because if you know my mom, she was strong and brave, and she gave everything she had to everybody, and no one would ever guess that she struggled like that. And so my hope for moving on through my grieving process is to kind of tackle and address and advocate for mental health and suicide. And again, her death was not ruled a suicide. However, knowing what I know and how she struggled, I can't help but wonder. So yeah, this episode is about grief.
Thanks for sharing, Hannah. And now we are going to go right into the grief episode.
Hi, it's Elise.
And this is Hannah.
And this is episode 10 of Love Her, Leave Her Wild.
Woohoo!
That was like a two. Is it because we're recording earlier?
Okay.
I'm going to rate your woo-hoos.
You always, I know, you rate my enthusiasm like every time.
Yeah, I just need, I would love for like a 10. So maybe we could go for a 10.
This one's
on the
sad
next one.
Though, but I'm not like prepared for this one.
Okay. Well,
it's I am prepared. I'm just,
I wouldn't say it's sad. It's just, I think it needs to be talked
about.
I'm
in a sad mood. There you go.
I mean, I'm in a sad mood too, but whatever. Okay. So we have a guest today. And her name is Katie Jameson. I think your Instagram Katie_Jameson, right?
Yeah, it's weird. It's Katie_Jameson.
Oh, okay.
One was taken.
Oh.
I hate that.
Yeah, it's super tricky.
Yeah. So Katie, maybe you can see me better. Katie is one of my favorite all-time content creators on Instagram. And she also, like us, has a daughter with Down syndrome.
Yes, I do.
Woohoo. We always have like guests with daughters with Down syndrome. I don't think we've ever had a guest on here with a son with Down syndrome. Yeah, that's odd. I don't know why. But so Katie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I live up in Canada, which I know you two are not up there. And we finally have some sunshine. It's finally warming up for us here. Mm-hmm. I live in Vancouver, BC, and I have twins, Wally and Kenzie, who are 5 and are wrapping up their first year of kindergarten. And then I have my youngest son, Woodford, who's 3, who is a handful. And then my first son, Lachlan, who was born in 2014, and he passed away when he was 3 weeks old. So that's
so
me.
Sorry to hear that. I love seeing your post about him. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's a special little guy.
Yeah. And what is it? Wally, right? Mm-hmm. Wally is probably one of my favorite kids on Instagram. Because he is so feisty. His facial expressions are like the best facial expressions ever.
He pulls out a lot of sad face for photos, which is pretty amazing. I think it's because he knows I'm a family photographer by trade. That's my job. And so I always have my camera out. And I think he's just grown to learn that when I pull out my camera, he's like, ugh, fine. And just gives me the saddest faces.
Oh. I think Hannah and I can totally relate to that too.
I know.
Felicity wants no part in pictures anymore. Good grief. Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Same with Adeline. Yeah. Claire May is loving it and like working the camera, but Adeline wants nothing to do with it. So
yeah, it's a struggle. Kenzie, I have to follow Kenzie for at least 30 minutes before she gives me anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably have 50 to 100 shots, you know, before, and then I get like maybe 2 to 3 good pictures out of all of those. People think, you know, you just walk up and just, geez, that's it. No.
It's a lot of sweat that's involved.
A lot of them are just candid.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, okay, so why we're talking about grief today is something that Hannah and I are doing now. Hannah just lost her mother in January, and we just received my mom's diagnosis of glioblastoma just recently in the last few weeks, and we know she doesn't have a whole bunch of time, and so it's also Mental Health Awareness Month, and so we kind of wanted to talk to you about what I really love about your content, Katie, is that it really helps people who aren't grieving but love someone who is grieving. And so I kind of want to talk at first about that. Like when you have a loved one that's grieving, how do you approach them? What do you say? What do you not say? What, how can we be better at loving someone who is grieving?
That is a huge first question. I think over, so I started sharing about grief when Lachlan passed away. And in the last year or so, it feels like the way that I approach the topic of grief has morphed into more of a way for people to understand grief who aren't going through it, and less of a direct dialogue to other people who are grieving. I think that it relates to both of those, but I think where it's resonating most these days is with people who can't grapple with or can't understand what grief looks like, and they can't understand the person that is in front of them who is grieving anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the way that I've been writing lately is to shed light on experiences that I've been through in the past, or days that I've had, or feelings that I'm going through that help explain the very wild myriad of what grief is, which is really unfathomable for anybody unless you have been through it. But then there's the whole catch that, well, nobody has been through the grief that you're going through. Mm-hmm. So it's impossible to explain. And I think my number one piece of advice for anybody who is trying to support someone who's going through grief is to continually show up. And I think people get confused with that it needs to be showing up sort of on their doorstep with food, you know, once a week, or it needs to be showing up, you know, in person all of the time. And I don't think that necessarily needs to be the case. I think showing up can be texting your friend on repeat, even though that person isn't getting back to you. It can be leaving a voicemail just to say you're thinking of them. Mm-hmm. It can be writing a card and putting it in the mailbox with the person's name who's passed away. It can be dropping off food. It can be coming in when you're not at home and cleaning the bathrooms. It can be so many different things. But just to keep showing up for the person who is going through loss, and to not think that at some point they've got a handle on it, because they don't.
Right. Because it doesn't have.
I'm already going to start crying. Oh, God.
And if for Hannah, it's like Hannah is in acute grief. Like Hannah is, you are in the depths of loss that can't be explained. And after my dad died, my dad died when the twins were 1.5 years old. I was thrown into a total time warp of grief. I thought that I had dealt with a lot of the things when Lachlan passed away. And when my dad died, so much resurfaced for me. And it was like I was starting over again. I was starting from scratch. That first year after you lose somebody is unrecognizable. You don't know yourself. You don't know who you are turning into. You don't understand yourself. And as a result, the people who love you don't understand you either. And it's really hard for them to see you suffer and struggle. And it's really hard to recognize that on the other end of that, there's a really, really beautiful version of you that's gonna emerge. But right now that sounds awful, because you don't wanna hear that you're gonna turn into something wonderful through the loss of your mother.
Yeah. I'm gonna cry through this whole episode.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. What triggered for me, my friend's daughter just passed away. She's like 8 months old, and I just like wish I could be there, because I know exactly what you're saying. Like, you just want someone to show up and like sit there and be there, and it's like you're not gonna do anything, you're just gonna cry. But like, I can't even imagine losing my daughter.
I think there's somebody asked me a question once, and it was, if you're gonna sit with someone in their grief, do you have to be comfortable with your own demons? And I that was like a light bulb moment for me. And I was like, oh, yeah, you do. You really do. Because for me to sit down and support somebody who's going through the loss of their child, I have to be really comfortable with not turning that into my own loss and sitting there and, you know, turning into a mess of tears and having them need to support me, you know? Yeah. So I think if you're not in a place where you can support somebody in person, that's okay. And recognizing that is like a really big step.
So many people, I don't think they realize that too, did that for me. It was like, they called me and like, they just cried. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm sorry, you're going through this. I can't imagine what it's like. Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah, that's true. I would just sit there and cry with her because I'd be like, you're a mom and you lost your daughter and I'm a daughter who lost her mom and I don't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Even
I probably would make it all about me.
But even.
And, you know, people don't do that on purpose. It's not purposeful that you make it about you. But loss is huge and nobody knows really how to deal with it. I think at the end of the day, if you're trying, then that's what's important. But, you know, the point of these conversations and what I try to share on Instagram is that if you do have the perspective to look a little further and say, okay, I want to support this person, but I'm going to be an absolute mess, then how can I do that without being directly in front of that person where I'm putting that on them?
It's tough. I mean, even when Hannah was going through, when she found out her mom passed, I mean, it was tough. Because I wanted to be there, but just didn't know how. I mean, it's hard sometimes, or you love someone and you want to do something, but you also want to say, it's okay. Like that's your pain. And you just don't know what to do. And there's so many times I was just like, I don't know what to do right now. And, you know, I think that a lot of us feel that way. And even now,
with you finding out about your mom, I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, you know,
because it's so
it's tough.
I think that's a really good point, Elise, is that like even when you've been through loss, you don't know how to deal with loss.
When
somebody messages me on Instagram and says I need to support a friend whose child has passed away, I have to take a minute because I just don't I don't know. And I think that it's really, really important to say out loud that it's okay if you don't know what to do. It's okay if you're struggling and you have no idea how to support your friend. There are just, you know, there are so many small things that you can do to like bide your time until you sort of get your feet under you and you can figure out how to support your friend, but it's okay if you don't know what to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question. What if you have a friend or someone you care about who lost someone they really love maybe a couple of years ago but seemed to still struggle, and you know that they're still somewhat struggling but they don't actively want to talk about it, nor do they talk to, say, a therapist about it? Like, what is your role then?
That's really tough. It's so personal. Grief is so personal. The way that even just my immediate family has dealt with my dad passing is so different. I talk about it a lot. My sister doesn't talk about it at all. It doesn't mean that one of us loves him any more than the other. It just means that the way that we deal with our grief looks different than each other. And I think that's tough because if you have been through loss, you sort of think that you understand the timeline of it, or that you understand what it looks like, or you understand what coping with grief looks like. And so many times in the last 7 years since Lachlan passed away, I have been faced with a person who is in grief that is not doing it in any way that I understand. And that's okay. It doesn't always look like what you think grief will look like. And it can be difficult if that person that you love appears to be struggling, you know, but they don't want to talk about it, I think all you can do in that circumstance is let that person know that you're always a safe place and that when they're ready to open up, it will never be too much time has passed for you. You'll always be there for that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
God. Fuck.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I just think of my family, like, we're all grieving the same person, but we're all grieving so differently. And like, it's painful to be around my family because we're, no one really understands each other, but we're all grieving the same thing. And then I feel like I'm losing my family on top of already losing my mom.
In a conversation I had with somebody a couple of weeks ago, and this is so different for me, and I'm able to talk about this because my loss was 7 years ago and I've had time to move through it and I've had time to fall apart and put myself back together again. But when I was chatting with this friend, I had the perspective to look back and realize that my family all grieved the loss of me when my son died because I am not the same person that I was before I had him. And my friends grieve the loss of me and my mom grieves the loss of me. My sister grieves the loss of me because who I am just absolutely cannot be who I was before he was here and before he left. And I think that's a really difficult thing, especially for a family to go through at the same time. Not only are you grieving the loss of the loved one that's gone, but you're all impossibly trying to comprehend who everybody is morphing into as they go through that loss. And it's almost too much. You know, you have to take care of yourself and you have to be on your own journey. It seems almost impossible that family grieving the loss of a mother or a father or a sibling can support each other through it. They can. It's just, it's so difficult.
Yeah. That's really hard.
Yeah.
Thanks, Elise.
What did I do?
I don't know. I need somebody to blame. I'm blaming
okay,
you.
Okay, you can blame me. It's fine. I'm blamed for everything, so. Okay.
Just joking. I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It has been tough between Hannah and I right now. Yeah.
Yeah, Elise, I'm so sorry to hear about your mom.
Thanks. It's, it's crazy. And it happened like that. Everything is fine. And then boom. And then it's like, they told us, there's no treatment. And if she does chemo radiation, she can have a median of 16 months, but because her tumor already started to grow back so quickly that she's going to have even less time. And so, you know, dealing with all of that and, you know, my sister and I have like taken the lead on, you know, the hospital stuff and medicine stuff and everything else and going through a divorce at the same time. I am on my A game. Boomtown.
No, she's lying.
What?
Hi, Felicity.
I have to laugh or else I will cry. And not both of us can be crying on this episode.
That's something, too, that I don't even know. I mean, people probably think I'm psycho, but, like, my way to cope with my mom's grief has been kind of humorous. Like, I will make kind of really awful, like morbid, dark jokes about it. And it's just like, it's that or cry. And sometimes I just can't cry anymore. And they're just like, that was really dark. And I'm like, well, it is dark. It sucks. Like, I'm not going to paint it some beautiful picture. Like, it's both. It's awful. It's dark. It sucks. And it can be, you know, a beautiful moment, but it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not the person who just sits there going like,
oh, she's in a better place. Like, she was made for heaven, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, no, actually, she was my mom. She was supposed to be here.
So grief isn't just about losing someone physical, right? So a lot of people don't understand grief can happen in other ways, like getting a diagnosis of Down syndrome, like finding out your child is gay. Those are different ways we grieve. And I think it's really important for people to understand that grief is cyclical, right? It doesn't, there's not a time frame. There's not an end to it. It doesn't just get easier and then you're like, oh, I miss him a little bit, but no, I mean, you can, it could be 10 years down the road and something hits you and it feels as fresh as if you just found out. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that's kind of important to understand that, that it is cyclical, that it can hit you, and that, you know, there's not a time frame. And I know Hannah had said, and Nastya, which is her Russian sister, said after the funeral, it felt like everybody was going back to normal. Right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember having that conversation, Hannah? Mm-hmm. And it just felt like you guys were still in this big ball of grief, but people are going to stop asking you how you're doing, how you're holding up.
Oh yeah. I mean, once the funeral's over, they stick around for, you know, a little bit, but then their lives go back to normal. And I feel like a funeral after a funeral is the worst time for the people who are grieving because you're so caught up in the like planning of it. And the funeral itself is beautiful. And I remember having so much mixed emotions of like joy and happiness to see all these people that's like you haven't seen in forever. And they're like, you're there because you love the same person. And then at the same time, you're like, shit, but this person's not here. And it's like this total mix of emotions. And then like, you know, they probably haven't seen that person in, let's say, 5-10 years, but you know, they were really close to them growing up. They move on. And then you're still just sitting there like grieving. And grief, like you said, it's not like just this emotion that shows up. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm only grieving today. Like, I will be grieving my whole life. Grief is now a part of me forever. Like, it's not going to go away. It's not, oh, I'm happy today and sad tomorrow. Like, I'm grieving every day of my life for forever.
I usually suggest to people, anybody that reaches out to me and says, you know, what's something that I could drop off? What's something that I could deliver? And I most often will say 2 weeks after the funeral, drop off flowers, because 2 weeks after the funeral is when all of the flowers from the funeral are dying. Yeah. And it's just
Your house smells dead.
Yeah. It's just a reminder of the day and what just happened. So refresh their flowers 2 weeks after that date.
That's smart. Mm-hmm. That's good advice. Do you have any other good, advice you can tell us or our listeners?
I have on my Instagram, I have grief guides that I've made, and they're just like a whole bunch of sort of different slides that are like super easy to go through, talking about sort of different aspects. Like one's like things you should not say to somebody going through grief. Another one is things you should say to someone going through grief. Another one is like, what are some things that you can do to support somebody? Mm-hmm. I made one for the holidays of things you could do if you're grieving. But I think that something that's been a really big realization for me, Hannah, has been that yes, grief is a part of me. And while it was very, very heavy for a very long time, grief is now the part that has grown me.
Yeah.
Grief is what has made me into the person that I am today. And I don't thank my loss. I'm not happy that I had those losses in my life. Mm-hmm. But I am very proud of the person that I've become through my losses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love your grief guides. I have read them and I share them.
You do share them. They're good.
I do. I share them.
You share everything. I hear the best.
And I actually had a mom message me maybe a few months ago, and she had gotten a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome. And, you know, we chatted, and, you know, I was as supportive as I can be. And she then messaged me a couple months later and told me she lost her baby. And I, thankfully, you, Katie, have a little shop. And so I was able to buy her a card from your shop and send to her.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. And I think, you know, our listeners, and I'll put all of the stuff in the information part of the episode where you can follow Katie's content and shop her store. But I thought, I was just like, oh God, this is your, the things that you have, the like prints and cards and everything are just so amazing and so wonderful to be able to have that to purchase and give to someone, better than like your sympathy Hallmark ones. Like they're just so touching and so important. And I was so, immediately I thought of that. It was like, what
I have my grief pins everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I have one on my like denim jacket that I wear out all the time. And then one on my diaper bag backpack. And then one in my car that like holds up a picture of my mom.
Oh, you guys, that's, I think like I initially made the pins were the first thing that I made. And I initially made them as a way, I think like in the very beginning, I felt very unseen as a mother because I didn't have a baby. I was walking around life and nobody knew that I'd given birth.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to be a way that people could recognize that somebody was going through something really hard without that person having to say anything. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of morphed. I started doing the cards, and then I started doing the prints and the stickers. And I think what they've turned into now is like a really beautiful olive branch that somebody can send to somebody who's going through loss and going through grief of any kind, just to know that they're thinking of them, because people really have no idea what to say. And they're just really easy, simple ways for somebody to acknowledge loss.
Yeah, in a more personal way. Yeah, you should. In a really personal way that looks like it's made from someone who gets it, which I think is super important. It's like, I think you're doing such important work with your content and your shops. And you know this, I'm like such a fangirl of Katie. But I just, you know me, I'm passionate about stuff, you know, and I'm loud and, you know, whatever. But I just love seeing other people out there, like very passionate about what they're talking about, and doing good things in the world. Also, while it being kind of therapeutic for you. And that's what I was going to ask you. So when I found out that Felicity had Down syndrome, she was a birth diagnosis. I had a really hard time with it. And then I kind of, you know, was like, all right, I'm just going to jump in head first to this. And like 3 months later, and then I found like my voice and advocating and doing all the things, but it was really therapeutic for me. It just happened to blow up more than I thought it would, but it was really done for me to be a therapeutic kind of thing. And I was wondering if it was kind of the same for you in talking about grief and all of that.
It really is. The writing that I do on, so Instagram has sort of turned into like my little journal of,
exactly. Same.
You know, of daily happenings and super mundane moments where I can pull out, you know, moments of grief and sort of reflect on them. That's what it's turned into for me. And I find it incredibly therapeutic to write through how I'm feeling. And what's happened lately in the last year is that I'm actually pulling moments from 7 years ago and being able to think about them and write through them and realize that there is actually sort of a stepping stone and like almost a setting, a foot setting of me being able to heal later on. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a really, really wonderful way for me to write my way through my healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's how I am. I want to write. And that's what I do. It really helps. But the cool part is it also helps other people.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like, you know, recently in the last 2 years, maybe, my writing has maybe resonated more with people than it used to. Mm-hmm. And it really fills my cup to have people be like, I see that. I get that. I understand what you're saying. Thank you for saying it.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah,
it helps me keep going.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's been, I guess, normalized, the talking about grief. And that's one thing that has kind of become passionate with me that I'm going through learning with my mom is that, I mean, I've touched on this a little bit, but she struggled a lot with depression her whole life. And she did not talk about anything as fear of just like, I don't honestly know. And I tried really hard in the end just to like, you know, be open and like create that space for her to talk, because she'd lost a lot in her life. I mean, her dad died when she was little and she'd gone through a whole bunch of stuff. And I love specifically your pins, because I feel like they kind of make it pretty, but they make it like normalized, and it's like something tangible you could see, because you can't see grief. Like, you don't see people really grieving. Most of the time they hide it and they just go on living their life. And talking about, I mean, like you mentioned earlier with your family, my family doesn't really talk about it. They don't write about it. I mean, they may when it comes up, but it's like not something they've publicly expressed, which isn't bad. But with myself, it's like that, like you, I need to get it out. And that's, I'm like looking at your website right now, reading your stuff. That's what I'm doing. Like, I'm like, I need this.
I think my writing caught my family off guard. I think it was strange for them to see me be so open about Lachlan and loss and how I was feeling. I remember very early on, I was sharing, I mean, as you do, I did this when we received Kenzie's Down syndrome diagnosis. When Lachlan passed away, I went online and I looked for anything that was words about grief and loss, like any poem, any meme, any like story, any like anything I could find. I soaked it in. And I remember sharing something on Instagram, you know, a couple of months after Lachlan passed away. And it was along the lines of, if life is without you, I don't want to be in life. Or it was quite dark, but it was what I was feeling. And I remember a very close family member reaching out to me and saying, I don't think you're okay. I think you're experiencing depression and I think you need to get help. And I was so fucking mad. I was so mad that that's what they saw. I was so angry that it had been deciphered that like what I was feeling wasn't okay and wasn't normal. Instead of somebody being like, oh my God, like you are just in the shits and I'm sorry. And what can I do? Yeah. How can I help you? So I think like early on, my family did not understand how open I was about it. And even 7 years ago, there wasn't a lot of talk openly about grief. And I think that that's part of the work that I'm passionate about, is that I don't want somebody going through loss tomorrow to feel the way I did 7 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what you're doing with your, you know, with your writing and your shop and everything else, and just talking about it in a very honest way, that doesn't shine the best light sometimes.
That's one thing I'm like struggling with, is being open about my grief. I feel like I'm still in the fucking wreck of it all. And my family not, and it's like, I don't know, there's that awkward, like, I don't want necessarily to offend them, and not that anything I'm saying is offensive, but they've also made comments about how Like, I just don't grieve publicly like you. And then I feel bad. Like, I'm not supposed to be publicly grieving. And I'm like, okay, so I get we're all grieving differently. But, like, it's also really important to me. And, I mean, Elise will probably have to cut this out for the point of when I actually announce it. But she didn't just, like, die. So I'm working through, like, getting to that point because we also, like, don't really even know how to address that.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it sucks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You must have so much anger.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm coming out of the anger stage right now.
No, you're not. Like,
yeah, I mean, it comes in waves, I guess. I was, like, really mad. Gosh. I'm not going to glorify my mom. She was a great mother, but she struggled with her depression her whole life, and towards the end of her life, it was just very toxic, and, you know, it was hard. And my dad, loving someone with depression is really hard who doesn't get help. He deserves to find someone who is just incredible and loves him, you know, the way he should be loved. So I'm all for that. I was really mad at her in the beginning, and more so because of my kids. And then myself. But now I feel like I'm coming out of it a little. I'm going to sink back down, but, like, because I'm feeling like my depression has, like, come back with hers, and I'm, like, feeling how she must have felt, and then that makes me more sympathetic,
right,
to her, and then mad at everybody else.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, in that weird, like, I'm not mad at her. I'm coming out of the mad at her. Now I'm mad at everybody else.
I feel like I could do an entire, I've said this before, I could do an entire podcast on anger and the anger that comes with grief.
I have so many anger issues that I did not understand or know that I had because my anger issues aren't that I get angry. It's that I don't know how to get angry. Like, I don't release it. Yeah. I get more sad and then I just, like, want to die and crawl in a ball and, like, not live anymore. But, like, and then the thing that will set me off to get me angry is, like, so fucking small. I'm, like, psychotic. I'm, like, how did that get me so mad when, like, the things that would normally get a person mad, like, just don't hit me, or they just make me sad. Like, yeah. I don't actually get physically angry unless it's, like, something really small that's just built up. I'm just, like, I don't know how to process this.
I am not a therapist, I'm a psychiatrist, but I have experience in trauma, and what you're talking about is the effects of trauma.
Yeah.
They lie real deep, and they make it so that you are unable to process emotions, and they make you incredibly anxious, and they make you super angry. And then the thing that sets off your trauma is a cup of water spilling over. It's just, like, it doesn't make sense, but it's the road to healing.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we will literally talk about her and her death a lot, or at least I will with maybe specific people, and that won't even trigger me. And then one little thing that I hadn't even, like, thought about yet comes out, and I'm like, shit. Like, what? How was I just talking here for an hour about my mom dying? And then, like, this little, like, thing pops up, or, like, this Magnolia journal sitting on my desk. Like, she would send me these for Christmas every year. Like, I'd get, like, her yearly subscription. I'm like, well, not going to get that anymore. And it's like, I've literally just been talking about the most intense depth things about her and her death. And then this fucking magazine, like, what the hell?
Yeah. So it doesn't make sense. There is no sense to be made of it.
Yeah.
Which makes it even harder to work through, right?
Yeah. And people who have never gone through it, like, they can't even. Yeah. And, like, you would never want them to be able to understand it because that would mean a lot of pain for them. But grief. I don't even. I feel like I'm passionate about it and I want to know more about it and talk about it, but then I don't because I'm still, like, I don't know how to process it really.
Yeah.
Like, some days I'm like, oh, I'm great. And then the next day I'm like, could the world end right now because I don't want to live anymore.
So. Yeah. There's two. Yes. At least this got real heavy when you walked away.
Yeah. Apparently, chicken nugget time was hardcore.
She's like, take it away, Hannah. I was like, hey, okay.
We usually record these late at night after the girls are in bed because you know noise. Yeah. And so yeah. I used to like jumping up and being like, it's chicken nugget time. Mom life. Yeah, it is. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'll probably come back and listen to this episode when my mom does pass. I mean, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just like, and then.
Right now, you're kind of in the numb of it all.
Yeah, I cry a lot these days. A lot. But, you know, and then sometimes, and Hannah has seen this too, like we'll be on Marco and I'll start laughing hysterically and then bawling my eyes out. And Hannah will be like, I, what? What just happened? I'm like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know how to help you.
But I think it's okay. So I think it's okay, though. I think it's okay to talk about, you know, like, I always try to say, I don't have everything together. I'm not all put together. I try to be a badass every single day. Sometimes I don't make it to badass status. And that's okay. I think talking about this stuff is really important to me because we're all going through a tough time or have gone through or will go through. And, you know, it's always been my mission to set out and be very honest about, you know, life and things that are going on. And even though you try really hard to be like, this is me, this is real, people still have this like thought or like this perception of you and your life, you know? And that's why I wanted to do this episode too, because Hannah and I are going through a really difficult time in our lives in different ways. And she's trying to, you know, still kill it through her earrings and does this podcast with me and I'm writing and, you know, we're still trying to be the single moms while she's grieving and I'm in this weird process of watching my mother die and grieving a marriage. And, you know, I just think it's important, to know that we don't have it all together.
It's a really good point. And also grief doesn't wait for the perfect moment to show up. Grief shows up at the worst time always.
Yeah.
And everyone is going to go through grief. There's no one on earth that is not going to go through grief.
Yeah.
And I think that having these conversations is so important because even if life is great and you're moving along hunky-dory and everything's fine, you'll remember that this conversation happened and you can go back to it when shit falls apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because ultimately it will, you know, it will. I know mine, seeing it coming. I don't even know if it's better to see it coming or it just happening. I don't know. Hannah and I always talk about this. We're just like, is it worse? Like hers was sudden. Mine is slowly coming. Like, I don't know.
I feel like you and I go through the same exact things, but so totally opposite. Like for our diagnosed stories too. Like I had the 9 months of it coming, which was awful to me because you live that every day and the doctors are like, oh, that sucks. Well, be prepared for this. And you're just like, shit, what is my life going to look like? And then you're traumatized the following times after that because you're expecting everything that they've told you and talked about. And you feel like you were robbed of this 9 months of joy or whatever. And then you have the sudden diagnosis where, you know, traumatizing for you in your own ways. And then you have my mom's sudden death and then your mom's long dying process. And it's like, what the, there's no easy way to come out of it at all.
No.
This is like the great debate of of a Down syndrome diagnosis of either prenatal or postnatal, because you're never going to have it the other way, right? Yeah, you only get one.
And
I don't think it's not easy either way. It's not happier either way. It's
Some are like, I'd rather be prepared. I'm like, you still can't prepare. Like, no.
I found out when the twins were 20 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I spent, I'm really open about, I grieved big time. I spent the last half of my pregnancy thinking that I wasn't really pregnant with twins. I was like, they're not the same. It's, you know, and like, it was framed to me. That's what I was made to believe. The positive side of that was that when they were born, I had worked through a lot of shit. And when I met them, I was like, look at you. You are the same. You're perfect. Everything's great. You know? And
yeah, that's what I always say. I wish I didn't have to grieve with her in my arms.
Yeah.
Which I did. I cried and held her and cried and held her. And that was tough.
Which I think a lot of moms can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Ugh. Like, don't get me
started. But now you have to grieve. Think about your mom now. Now you have to grieve with her in your life.
Yeah.
You know, for so long.
Exactly. Every time I look at her, I think, you know, is this my last hug?
Yeah.
You know, and I look at her kissing Felicity and I just cry and cry because, you know, Felicity just.
Would you rather grieve without her? You know, it's like
there's no
good way to do it. It
just is hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard and it sucks. And I was telling Hannah that I had seen, I don't know if you've seen this, Katie, this interview with Keanu Reeves where Stephen Colbert, I think, asks Keanu, what do you think happens when you die? And Keanu looks at him very seriously and says, I don't know, but I do know the people that love you hurt. And I was like, what a good response, right? That one hit. That one hit. I was like, yeah, Keanu, you know what's up. And it's true. But it's true because it's really for the living, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Keanu's Canadian.
Is he Canadian? I didn't know that. He's amazing. I would want to meet him one day. Maybe he's going to be my future husband. The few of the key things that I really learned today, I loved was that the flowers after the 2 weeks thing, which is pretty amazing to know, and that you just keep showing up. You just show up in whatever way you can, and you can't force someone to talk about
whatever capacity you have.
Mm-hmm. You can't force someone to talk about it. You just let them know that you're here when they're ready, whether it's tomorrow or 10 years from now. And please check out Katie's shop. Like I said, I will have all of the
Felicity's just shouting out my shop right now. Thanks, girl.
I know. Okay. So I'm going to put all the information in the episode, about of your Instagram, your shop. And I highly recommend it for anybody, you know, that's grieving, follow her account. The pictures are phenomenal on top of it. Like, I always love your photos in general, plus the writing. Again, you are one of my favorite accounts. So yeah, thanks Katie for being on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thanks, Felicity.
All right. So thanks for being on our show, Katie. We really appreciate it. We are sponsored by Rose and Grace. Check them out on Instagram and Facebook. We're sponsored by my upcoming book, Love Her, Leave Her Wild, by Dear Mom, a nonprofit that supports mothers with children with Down syndrome, and Never Alone at North. Go give them some love on Facebook. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.